Last month, when I was here, we began in the 9th chapter of Matthew with that incident of Jesus healing the paralytic. The paralytic to whom he said, "Son, be of good cheer," or "Son, take courage," or "Son, be hearty." And we noticed that in that day, when people were afflicted with physical ailments, the notion was that they must have sinned grievously, and particularly sinned grievously if you were paralyzed. And so Jesus speaks to that matter and says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And of course, the crowd marvels that he would say he forgives sins, and the religious leaders say he's blaspheming. What's Jesus doing? Well, he's saying, no, it's not a specific sin that this child committed or his parents committed that caused him to be paralytic. If you really want to know why there's paralysis and physical ailment, you need to go back to Genesis. You need to go back to understand that we weren't created to become unhealthy. We were created to live a healthy life in fellowship with our Creator as we would cultivate the creation and reproduce. But we fell into sin. And it's because of that sin in Adam that there is paralysis and so forth. And so it's the forgiveness of sins. What sins? The original sin and the daily sins in our lives that eventually will turn this mortal into an immortal person who lives on the new heavens and new in the new heavens and new earth, as God intended us to be. And so Jesus is working our way. Matthew's working our way through Jesus coming as the one promised in Genesis chapter 3. That seed of the woman who was going to crush the head of the serpent. And that then brings us to the end of the chapter and what we read in verses 32 through 38. So let's listen. It's on page 857 if you haven't already found it. Matthew chapter 9 and beginning with verse 32. "And they went out. Behold, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the man spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen." A man who is unable to speak, is brought to Jesus. God made us to be able to communicate. God made us to be able to speak one with another. And here is a man who is unable to speak. Why is he unable to speak? Because he is demon-possessed. His father possesses him. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, "You all are of your father, the devil." And here's what happens to a person, or can happen to a person, who is given over, who is indeed possessed by one of Satan's minions. The last thing Satan wants us to be able, one of the last things he wants us to be able to do, is to speak about our Savior, Jesus Christ. The last thing he wants us to be able to do, one of the last things, is to be able to share the joy we have in being part of the kingdom of God. That's not something the devil wants us to be able to do. And so here we find a person who is possessed by the devil, by one of his demons, by one of his minions, such that he's not able to speak. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus shows that he is the crusher of the serpent. He shows that he is that promised seed of the woman who will indeed overthrow that liar who crept into the garden and caused our first parents to buy a lie. Now, there are other passages, one in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, and one in the Gospel of Luke, and one in the Gospel of Mark, where this same kind of event takes place. There's a mute man. There's a mute man who also is deaf. And Jesus deals with that by casting the demon out. And the crowds marvel. At one point, the crowds say, "This must be the Son of Man. Think of Daniel. This must be the Son of Man." But what do the leaders of Israel have to say? He's doing this by Beelzebub, by the rulers of the demons. Now, of course, we understand in those contexts, what does Jesus say? A house divided is not going to stand. And so how stupid it is for you to say Satan, Beelzebub, he's casting out his minions. That's ridiculous. But that's how stupid people are when they are dead in their trespasses and sin, isn't it? That's how stupid people are when they take Genesis through Malachi. These are the religious leaders. These are the scribes. And these are the ones who are supposed to know the law. And take that, and then they begin to add to that. Oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do this. Don't do that. This is how you show your works, 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 works. Don't receive Jesus. Work, 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 work. What happens when the demon's cast out? The man speaks. The man speaks. How about us? What happens when, by the grace of God, we come to embrace the Son of Man? We come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to believe on Him. We come to repent of our sins. We come to give up serving the father of lies and begin serving our Creator out of the joy that His salvation brings to us. What do we talk about? Do we go about seeking to see the kingdom of God spread? Do we go about seeking to speak about the one who has freed us from being slaves of Satan? In the psalm that we sang, do we talk about our Red Sea experience? How we were slaves in Egypt, how we were set free, how we crossed over by the marvelous grace of God into that land of promise. Is that what we speak about? How we are now free. What did we see in Isaiah 61? Jesus has come, and what has He come to do? He's come to set us free from the prison in which we are, prisoners to the one who makes us mute. Oh, but Pastor Bruce, I speak. Yeah, you spoke. I spoke. We talked a lot before we were Christians. But we didn't sing the praises of God, and we didn't speak of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We were mute to the things of God. But being born again, being brought to salvation, we now begin to speak of the great salvation that we enjoy. But I find it interesting that then Matthew takes us in the life of Jesus, and we walk from city, to village, and what do we see? Well, we see Jesus going into the synagogues and teaching. What do we see? We see Jesus preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. It's all about the king has come. And the king has come to reign. And the king has come to enable us to cultivate the creation, to serve the creation, to enable all that God calls us to do, to bring into dominion to Him. And He heals every sickness and every disease among the people. So great a salvation this Jesus brings. But He sees the multitudes. I've preached an entire sermon on He sees the multitudes. What do we see? What do we see when we go out and look at humanity throughout the week? What do we see? We're tempted to see, are you blue or are you red? What party are you? Are you a C or an L? We tend to divide people into the world's categories. We don't tend to see people in the category that Jesus sees people. And what is it? Weary and scattered. How about it? Would you say the world is full of weary people chasing their dreams? How much is enough? Just a little more? Are they not scattered? What does he mean by scattered? We don't live as community. We don't live as people who love one another. We don't live as people who think of others as more important than themselves. We don't think as of people who've died to self and therefore want to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We don't live as communal people. We live as narcissists. I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. Weary, seeking the things of the flesh. And therefore, not together. Not one in Christ. Do you see the people with whom you have everyday interaction who are apart from Christ as that kind of sheep who doesn't have a shepherd? They're not in the body of Christ. They're not in the visible church. They're not where elders can shepherd them and help them to be all that God would have. They're not in the body of Christ. They're shepherdless. They don't have Jesus as their Savior, and they don't have the elders that God ordains to be in the church to shepherd them. And so what does he say? He says to his disciples, the harvest is ripe. Pray for shepherds. Oops. Oops. Pray for laborers. Hint. That's why we read Matthew 20. That's why we read Matthew 20. It's taken me all these years to finally be assigned this text by this congregation to realize that when you go on into Matthew, you'll come to chapter 20 and Jesus is going to talk about laborers. And of course I knew chapter 20 of Matthew. I knew it talked about it doesn't matter when you're saved, you're going to get heaven. You're all going to get the denarius. The denarius is the eternal life that God promises us in the new heaven and the earth. We're all going to get the same reward. But what does it say we are? As we're called to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow. What does he call us? Yes, we're new creations. Yes, we're now alive. Yes, we're in union with Christ. Yes, yeah. But we are the laborers. Did you see that? Oh, what? I'm a laborer? I'm the answer to this prayer that he's told me to pray? Oh, wow. Whoa. I'm an answer to a prayer that Jesus told me to pray. God, raise up laborers. Oh, my. He's called me into the vineyard. He sent me out into the harvest. Those weary and scattered people who don't have he's called me out into the multitudes. And he's called me to proclaim the kingdom of God. To proclaim the kingdom of God. so that no matter what it is that God has called me to do Monday through Saturday, I know that He's called me to bring that portion of His creation under His dominion. That is to say, it's my calling from God in the harvest field to speak about the King who called me unto salvation and has equipped me to be whatever it is I do, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We work 5 days, not six, don't we? Then we work at home. That's what the sixth day of labor is. But He's called us 5 days out into the marketplace as laborers who are looking forward to our denarius. But He's called us as laborers praying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if I'm a carpenter, it's to the glory of God that His will is being done. If I'm a nurse, it's to hit. If I'm a homemaker, if I'm a teacher, whatever it is, I'm there in Christ bringing the kingdom of God to bear. So do we pray each day, Lord, give me opportunity to speak about You. Not stealing time from the company to speak about Him, but working to the glory of God in such a way that we are salt and light wherever He has us in the calling that we enjoy because of the gift that He has given us and the personalities that we are. And so we're a congregation looking to call a teaching elder. Please be praying for an Ephesians 4:12 teaching elder. An Ephesians 4:12 teaching elder is one who will equip the saints for the work of ministry. A teaching elder who is going to be able to come and open the Word of God in a way that will encourage each and every one of us to be all that God would have us to be as His redeemed image bearer, doing all that we do to His glory and His enjoyment. Indeed, calling all laborers. And isn't it encouraging that as He calls us to be His laborers, He gives us the food that we need in order to be laborers. He gives us His only begotten Son. He gives us His only begotten Son upon whom we may feast, reminding us that He is that bread of life that sustains us. It's His blood in which there is life that washes us so that we are clean and are able to live that life of righteousness as we work out the salvation that He has operated in us and will continue to do that until the day He returns or we die. Children, you've been baptized into the name of Christ. Jesus says, "You're mine." And I want you, because out of the mouths of babes, there's times that praise comes forth that adults go, what? my youngest, I never, ever had the courage to do what he did when he was just a wee one. Went over and talked to our Jewish next door neighbor, with whom we were really good friends. But he did what I had never done. He was there one day, and my neighbor told me this. He was there one day, and he said, "What do you think of Jesus?" And my neighbor was really impressed with that, and I was really embarrassed because I never talked to him about Jesus. Wow. Way to go, son. Woo-hoo-hoo. Way to go, children. When you just, "What do you think of Jesus?" What a testimony. What an opportunity. Amazing. Calling all laborers to be faithful ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to be genuine witness bearers of how he's enabled our speech to no longer be mute about him, but to now speak about him who's enabled us to change our language from cursing to blessing, calling all laborers. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you again for this reminder of what your Son came to do and did and continues to do, and for how he has enlisted us to be testimony bearers in the field that's ripe for harvest of the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, Father, thank you for hearing our prayer for laborers and calling us to that task. But now, Father, hear us as we continue to pray that you would bring that teaching elder who would join the elders who are here in continuing to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To your name's glory we pray, in Jesus' name, for his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Let's pray together that prayer that Jesus gave. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.